Welcome to the Valleybrook Community Church podcast, and thank you for joining us online today. You're about to hear a message from our current series, Practicing the Way. This series is an 8-session primer on spiritual formation. 2,000 years ago, Jesus said to his disciples, "Follow me." But what does it mean for us to follow Jesus today? Practicing the Way is an on-ramp to spiritual formation, exploring what it means to follow Jesus and laying the foundation for a life of apprenticeship to him. To watch any of our previous messages or find all listening platforms, we encourage you to visit www.valleybrook.cc/on-demand. Enjoy.
Well, we're excited today because we're beginning a series, and as you may have just sort of put together from our buffer video, we're utilizing some resources that we believe are going to help you go deeper in your discipleship, deeper in your relationship of following Jesus. And so I'm excited to share with you, you probably have heard this a little bit over the past couple weeks, but we have purchased a copy of John Mark Comer's book, Practicing the Way, for every single person. It is free. So if you're here today, as a regular attender, as a guest, we want to invite you to pick a copy up before you leave today, and we want to encourage you to start reading it. So as somebody who's not a fast reader, I would tell you that you will find this very readable, and you'll be able to read a chapter a day in no time, and you'll be finished with the book before the end of the 8 weeks. But that's not all we want to encourage you to do. We are also kicking off our life group season. Our life groups are intentional, small gatherings of adults where we study God's word and a curriculum and discuss it, and we build community and we connect with each other and pray for each other. And so we want to encourage you also to join a life group. And in that life group, we're going to encourage you to use a workbook that goes along with this study. It's called Practicing the Way. There is a small fee for that, so we want to encourage you to pick that up. And by the way, if you're online, if you would like to participate, send us an email at connect@valleybrook.cc, and we will make sure we get these in your hands because we believe this is so important. One last thing. If you can't find a life group that fits your schedule, your time, I want to encourage you to find another follower of Jesus who would like to do this study with you, and then let us know. Get the materials, and we'll make sure you get the online link so you can utilize the curriculum that goes with this. We're excited about this because we have realized that over the years, when we take time to not only preach on the same scriptures, but also let our small group gatherings study the same material, spiritual growth is accelerated, and people grow in their maturity in Christ. So I'm going to move into the message today. And as I do so, I want to start this message by asking you a question. Who or what is forming your beliefs and your values? Think about that question. Let me ask it again. Who or what is forming your beliefs or your values? Now, as I ask you that question, I'm going to ask you to do something now. I want you to reach in your pocket or your purse and pull out your phone. Go ahead. I'm giving you permission to do it, all right? Drew told me the Vikings are playing in London right now. Do not check the score of the Vikings game, all right? So here's what I want you to do. On your phones, there's an app. There's an app that tracks how much time you spend on your phone. So if you have an iPhone, go to settings, scroll down to screen time, and look at how much time you spent on your phone this week. If you have an Android version, go to your settings, look for the section called digital well-being, and you again can see how much screen time you've spent this past week. Go ahead and do it. I'll do it. Settings, screen time. Oh, I don't want you to see that, okay? So let me ask you that question again. Who or what is forming your beliefs and your values? Every day, you and I are consuming words and information and content in multiple places and multiple fashions. And whether we realize it or not, everything we take in is forming beliefs and values in us. And the more that we consume, and as we decide we want more of a certain amount of content, we could say that we're becoming a disciple of that content creator. Now, that's pretty convicting. Because the reality is, as followers of Jesus Christ, the only disciple-making entity in our lives should be the Lord Jesus Christ and His Word. And so we really recognize that we need to spend more time thinking about following Him and about taking in His Word. We only want Jesus and God's Word to form our beliefs and our values. Now think about Jesus' life. Think about His ministry. When He began His ministry, He didn't do anything like this. He didn't say, I want you to pray a prayer. He didn't say, I want you to believe in me. He just went up to people and he said, follow me. Follow me. When you read the Bible, you'll see that he invited two different sets of brothers. They were blue-collar fishermen. He just said to them, follow me. To a white-collar tax collector working for the Roman Empire, he said, follow me. To a person who was making funeral arrangements for his father, and he said he wanted to be a disciple, and Jesus just said to him, follow me. To a rich person who had everything, but also a lot of angst about his own salvation, and he came asking Jesus questions, Jesus said to him, follow me. Now, some followed and some didn't. From the Gospels, we know that there were those who Jesus gave the invitation to follow him, and they did. There were the 12 disciples. We know about them. These men, some of which I've already mentioned, came from various backgrounds, and they all responded to Jesus' invitation to follow him. They didn't know what all of that would entail, but they accepted the invitation. There were also women who followed Jesus. And the author of the book of Luke notes that Mary Magdalene followed Jesus. She had been delivered from demonic possession. There was also Joanna, who was married to the manager of King Herod's household. There was a woman named Susanna, and many more. And we know that these men and these women accepted Jesus' invitation to follow him. They were invited to follow Jesus because that's what it meant then, and what it means now to be a disciple. A disciple of Jesus follows him and follows his teaching. And so let's unpack that a little more. Honestly, to be quite clear, in our Christianity today practiced in the Western part of the world, sometimes the way we talk about being a follower of Jesus, being a Christian, is either a little vague or a little simplistic or sometimes a little complicated. Sometimes it sounds like all you have to do is pray a prayer and poof, you're a Christian. Sometimes it sounds like being a Christian is just about getting to heaven. On the other side, sometimes we make it more complicated than it needs to be. But all this being said, it's my hope that beginning today, we can bring some clarity to what it means to be in a follower of Jesus. And I hope and I encourage you to keep on following him. Now, let's go back to the first century just for a second. Rabbis were teachers in the first century. You read through the Gospels, you'll see Jesus called rabbi. When he said, follow me, that's what rabbis did. They would invite people to become their disciple by following them and learning from them. So our definition of being a disciple of Jesus means that we are someone who follows Jesus and his teaching. So we're going to look at what that means today. First thing we need to know, to follow a rabbi means you need to spend time with that rabbi. So following Jesus means that we need to follow him. It's not about being in a classroom. It's not about going there for an hour, listening to a lecture, receiving an assignment, going home and doing homework, and then coming back the next day and taking a test on the material. That's not what it means to follow Jesus, to follow a rabbi. To be a follower of Jesus means, first of all and foremost, we need to spend time with him. To be with Jesus. I want to read a couple of scriptures this morning, and I want you to notice what it says about the followers of Jesus. The first is from Mark's gospel. Afterward, Jesus went up on a mountain and called out the ones he wanted to go with him, and they came to him. Then he appointed 12 of them and called them his apostles. They were to accompany him, and he would send them out to preach, giving them authority to cast out demons. That's from Mark's gospel. Now from Luke's gospel. After this, Jesus traveled about from one town and village to another, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him, and also some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases. Jesus called his followers, both men and women, did you notice it, to be with him. Notice that before he sent out the disciples to do ministry, he wanted them to spend time being with him. And even after that initial time of training and being with him, Jesus wanted his followers to continue to be with him as they traveled and proclaimed the good news of the kingdom of God. Jesus wants his followers to spend time with him. So with is a powerful word. Pastor Tyler Staton writes about the word with, that there's nothing more meaningful, nothing that communicates more deeply from one person to another than the simple four-letter word with. In life's great celebrations, weddings, birthdays, and graduations, we think of who we want to be with to mark those occasions. In life's tragedies, heartbreaks, and hospital visits and funerals, we think of who we want to be with as we ride out the grief and the struggle and the stress. Life is filled with demands and activities, work and errands, career and obligations. But on your deathbed, it will not be your resume, your to-do list, or your agenda that you're thinking about. It will be your relationships, the people that you got to spend your days with. So, let's be clear. You can be in the presence of a lot of people like we are right now, but while we're all together, we're really not spending time with each other in a significant relational sort of way. Spending significant relationship time with someone requires that we make a connection. And it requires a setting where we set aside time to be with each other, to communicate, both sides of communication, to speak and to listen, to share, to pay attention to the verbal and the nonverbal communication. That's what it means to spend time with each other. Now, as I say that, of course, we live in a world where we are very physically oriented to things and to people, that we see with our eyes, that we can touch with our hands, that we hear with our ears. So how can we be with Jesus when he's ascended into heaven? Remember, Jesus tells his followers that before he ascends into heaven, that he will be with them always. And then if we recall some teaching that Jesus gave in the Gospel of John, he said that he and God the Father would send the Holy Spirit to be with us and to be in us as his followers. And then we know on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came down and it filled those who followed Jesus. So through the Holy Spirit dwelling with us and in us, we can be with Jesus. And as we learn to tune our hearts and our minds to the Spirit's leading, we can sense his guidance. It's the guidance of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's the guidance of our rabbi, Jesus. And because we have his teaching and his commands in the Bible, Jesus speaks to us through Scripture. But just like making time to be in significant relationships with other people requires action on our part, making time to be with Jesus also requires action on our parts. We will need to make time to spend with him by talking to him through prayer, by reading the stories of Jesus in the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, by studying his commands and seeking to apply them to our daily lives, and then obviously connecting with others in the body of Christ to encourage them to do the same thing. You see, being a disciple of Jesus means we need to spend time with him. So as a disciple of Jesus, the more time we spend with Jesus, the more we'll become like Jesus. At the conclusion of Jesus' most famous sermon, the Sermon on the Mount, he makes it clear what it means to be a part of the kingdom of God, where he is the king. This is what he says. You can enter God's kingdom only through the narrow gate. The highway to hell is broad, and its gate is wide for the many who choose that way. But the gateway to life is very narrow, and the road is difficult, and only a few ever find it. He's saying to those who follow him that we don't follow the easy road, the broad road. That's the way of the kingdoms of this world. But instead, we follow his way, which compared to the ways of this world is narrow, and it's more challenging, even difficult, than the easy way of the world. And not everyone finds it. In other words, not everyone decides to follow it. But as followers of Jesus, we have found that way. And though it's not wide and it's not easy, Jesus tells us something else a few verses later. He says this: anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise, like a person who builds a house on solid rock. Though the rains come in torrents and floodwaters rise and the winds beat against that house, it won't collapse because it is built on bedrock. But anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey it is foolish, like a person who builds a house on sand. When the rains and the floods come and the winds beat against that house, it will collapse with a mighty crash. So as we follow Jesus down the narrow way, he calls us to build our lives on a foundation of his teaching. That's the solid rock. And we'll be able to navigate through the joys and the sorrows, the highs and the lows of this life with him, as he would do. In the Gospel of John, we read that Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So he's telling us that his way is through him. And yes, it is the narrow way. It's the way that we're all invited to follow. I appreciate the words of Pastor Eugene Peterson, who wrote in his book, The Jesus Way. He says, the Jesus way wedded to the Jesus truth brings about the Jesus life. Let me say that again. The Jesus way wedded to the Jesus truth brings about the Jesus life. And then he goes on and he says, we can't proclaim the Jesus truth, but then do it any old way we like. Nor can we follow the Jesus way without speaking the Jesus truth. So to become like Jesus, we must follow him, and we must follow him doing the things that Jesus would do. Now, I don't know about you, but I've noticed in my life that the more I read the Bible and the more I study it and apply it to my life and consider what it means to me, the more my actions and my words are more like Jesus' actions and words. And I've also noticed that the more time I spend in community with other Christ followers and we talk about Scripture and we encourage and challenge each other, the more I find myself thinking and doing and saying the things that Jesus would say. On the contrary, though, I've also noticed that the more I watch the news, the more I scroll through social media, the less my words and actions and thoughts are like those of Jesus. And I've noticed that if I don't get into community with other followers of Jesus and wrestle with the Scriptures and discuss what they mean, the less my thoughts and my words and my actions are like Jesus. So let me give you an example. This week at our Valley Brook Elder Meeting. After we'd gone through our agenda, after we had prayed for you and prayed for our community and things that are going on in the world, our conversation turned to spiritual disciplines. And it's a known fact that I think I have a genetic disposition. My right foot is heavier than my left foot, and it really comes out when I'm driving my car. So I'm a little impatient at times. And so the conversation sort of went around to, not being in a hurry. And one of our elders shared how he's intentionally trying to slow down in his life so he can be more patient with others and so he can be more aware of what God is doing in his midst and in the world. And one of the ways he does that is intentionally driving this posted speed limit. You know what? I found that conversation both spiritually challenging, but encouraging because it hit me in a place where I struggle. But here's what I want you to see even more. That conversation wouldn't have happened if we weren't in intentional community as a church board of elders, where we share together, where we listen to one another, where we encourage one another, where we share our ups and downs and we pray for one another. And those relationships are helping me become more like Jesus, which is what we're called to do as followers of Jesus. So to be a disciple of Jesus means we need to spend time with him. We need to become more like him. And then we need to do as Jesus does. When we're in tune with following Jesus by spending time with him and seeking to become more like him, every day we will begin to see opportunities to do what he did. Now, on the front end of that, you may see those opportunities, feel that nudge to do it, and you may lack a little boldness or a little initiative. And that's okay. Recognizing it is the first step. And then acting on it. Doing for others what Jesus would do is going to have to start with us recognizing that the key to everything that Jesus did was love. So what do I mean? We're going to have to love God and love other people just like Jesus does. That was Jesus' mode of operation. He commanded us to do that. And he commanded all of his disciples to do this, to love others. And in John's gospel, this is what we read that Jesus said. He says, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love, I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. To do what Jesus did starts with love, loving God and loving others. Recognizing too, as Jesus tells us, it's a sacrificial type of love. Now, to begin with, this all starts with knowing that you are loved. So let me pause here for a moment. I want every single person hearing my words today to know that you are loved just as you are by God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You're loved just because you are you. You can't earn that love. You can't bargain for that love. You can't buy that love. You're just loved, period. God just loves you. Now, I know some of you are thinking, well, Clark, you don't know what I've done in my life. You don't know the mistakes I've made, the bad things I've done, the pain I've caused others. And you know what? You're right. I don't know those things. But I do know that we have a God who loves every single one of us, and he knows what we've done. And Scripture tells us this, that nothing in all creation can separate us from God's love in Christ Jesus, our Lord. So that means, regardless of whatever we've done, the good, the bad, and the ugly, nothing can separate us from God's love. Now, he doesn't want us to continue to do things that are sin against others and sin against him. But you can't earn God's love. And he doesn't distribute it to us based on how good or how bad we've been. He just loves us. He just loves you. He just loves me. He's not thrilled when we do sinful things and hurt others and offend him. But he's shown us how to live by the way his son Jesus Christ lived. And God has offered us forgiveness through Jesus' sacrificial death on behalf of all of the world. And so that's how we know God loves us even more. Because he's provided a means for us to deal with our sin and to receive forgiveness so we can be in a relationship with him. God loves us so much. So you were loved. Jesus died so you would be forgiven. So you accept his forgiveness and his love, and then you start following him, walking in that love and sharing it with others. Every single day, you and I have opportunities to do as Jesus did and to love others as he loves them. So when somebody cuts you off in traffic tomorrow, try to love them. If someone's rude to you, love them anyway. If someone compliments you, then love them right back with a compliment. If you have a difficult conversation, ask God to help you speak the truth in a loving way. If you've been hurt or offended, seek to reconcile with the offender and speak the truth in love. Love is an option that we have each and every day. So look for ways to speak and to show love to others just like Jesus does. If we start with a desire to love others and love God like Jesus does, then everything we decide to do and everything we decide to speak should come through that filter of love. And that will help us do what Jesus would do. Now, sometimes people say, just talking about love it's simplistic. It is the foundation for what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. If you can't love God and love others, you're not going to be able to follow Jesus faithfully. You're not going to be able to become like him, and you're not going to be able to do what he does. So it begins there, and then it becomes the foundation that all of our thoughts and our actions and our words come out of. Being a Christian, being a follower of Jesus, is more than just saying you believe in him. It's a decision to say, yes, I believe in him, and now I want to follow him. And following him means we're going to spend time with him. We're going to seek to become like he is, and we're going to seek to do the things that he does. So I want to encourage you to lean into that, to begin to follow him with all that you are, your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength. I want to pray for each one of us. I'm going to invite the worship team to come forward as I do pray for all of us. So, Father, we are grateful that you have sent us a teacher, a rabbi, Jesus, who is not just our teacher, he's also our Savior and our King, and we praise you for that. Lord, we want to follow him with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, with all of our strength. Lord, we want to honor him with our lives. So, Lord, I pray for each and every one of us that you would help us lean into this and that we would do whatever it takes to go deeper in our relationship of following him. We pray this in Jesus' name.